a very good morning, you dearly mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BB and Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, you mob. Going to jump straight in. Electronic prescriptions at Royal Perth Hospital, which is a national first for a public hospital and a great thing for Indigenous and all people. We're going to talk to Dr. Andrew Rochford, digital health expert, about this new platform on the line. Dr. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Technology, 21st century, here we are. We're talking electronic prescriptions. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And since the beginning of the pandemic, we've seen a significant increase in the number of people that are taking the opportunity to realise the benefits of digital innovation in healthcare.
Yes.
Electronic prescriptions have been a big part of that. There's been over 75 million electronic prescriptions in the last few years. And now that's in the community. We're now seeing that shift over, as you mentioned, into the public health system and in a first for a public hospital, Royal Perth Hospital, in a joint project between the hospital, WA Health Support Services and the Australian Digital Health Agency, is rolling out electronic prescriptions in an initial 12-week trial into some of those outpatient clinics with the idea that following that, there'll be a broader rollout of electronic prescriptions within the health.
Fantastic. Can you give us a description or a photo image of how that all works?
Yeah, so I guess that, traditionally we're very used to, a script pad, handwritten prescriptions being from the doctor. They give you a copy of it. You then take that to the pharmacist. They use that paperwork to be able to dispense your medication. Electronic prescriptions are generated and sent to your phone, either via a message or as an email.
Yep.
And, we're all used to what a QR code looks like now. So it's a token. It's a QR code, a unique token.
Yes.
That can then be scanned by the pharmacy, all that digital information uploaded into their system. They dispense the medication. There's no paper. You don't need to
rummage. You've got it on your phone, on your devices.
You've got it right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. So I said, virtually everybody, every man, his dog, has a mobile phone, So it's in our pockets, it's in our bags, and there it is carried with us everywhere we go. So all our information, all our details are there. They're doing something similar up here in Cairns in the tourist industry where your boarding passes are sent to you, whether you're going on a cruise or you're going on a bungee jump or Skyrail, it's all there. So this is similar.
Absolutely. And plenty of industries now have moved to this because we know that, we've got, systems in place, secure systems that can move this information between our devices, our mobile phones, our computers, our laptops. It just makes life a lot easier, a lot more efficient. And when you're being efficient in healthcare, ultimately that means there's better outcomes for patients as well as healthcare workers.
Well, people get anxiety too if they haven't got the prescription or they need more medication, So it helps in easing the mind and the spirit as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Now that we're travelling more, we're opening up since the pandemic, people are getting out and about. Having that healthcare information, whether it's your electronic prescriptions or whether it's your My Health record with all that other very invaluable information with you, no matter where you are, you can access it. If you're at home, if you're traveling, if you're at a friend or family's place, you've got that information with you. And it reduces that stress and anxiety of constantly feeling like you've got to make sure you've got all your notes and you've got all your prescriptions with you because you'll be able to access it through the digital system.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Andrew, Royal Perth Hospital leading the way. So, virtually, this should be across the board with all hospitals very soon, should it not?
Absolutely. And like everything, especially in healthcare, we need to make sure that it's working well, the systems are in place, there's efficiencies there before we roll it out on the broader scheme. And it's great for Royal Perth Hospital, the Australian Digital Health Agency, to be pushing this trial out there over the next 12 weeks. We'll be seeing this come together and the results of that leading to the rollout broader, not only, throughout broader within that hospital, but across the Australian healthcare system into more public hospitals. Because anything that can help, reduce medication errors, improve efficiencies, how our healthcare system is working, that's good for everybody.
Well, no paper trail and we don't lose paper. Dr. Andrew, thank you very much, and I will text you a thank you as well, my friend.
Good man, Trevor. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. right.
A beautiful young Dr. Andrew Rochford, a digital health expert, and talking about electronic prescriptions at the Royal Perth Hospital, which is a national first for a public hospital and a great thing for Indigenous people and all people, of course. So in actual fact, leading, by the way, all hospitals across this country should be doing it that way inclined. We are in the 21st century, digital, there it is, all happening. So have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416 is the number you need to call. Yana with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for the daily program National Talk Black, a one-hour program, and we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. So do Yarn Up Strong and have your say. Now, the power of a nation and building to improve Indigenous people's health and well-being. Talking about a lot of health at the moment, which is fantastic. I always say you don't have to be sick to get better. So the power of nation build to improve Indigenous people's health and well-being. A new discussion paper sets a framework for Aboriginal and Torres Strait peoples to take control of their health and well-being through nation building. So we're going to talk on that with Daryl Rigney, Professor of the University of Technology in Sydney. On the line, Daryl, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Trevor.
How are you going?
Yeah, good there.
Good, good. I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So the power of nation, building to improve Indigenous people's health and well-being. So a new discussion, paper sets, a framework for that. So enlighten us, please, Daryl.
Yeah, sure. So this is a collaboration between the Indigenous Nations Collaborative Futures Research Hub that I direct at University of Technology Sydney, the Jumbun Institute, and the Laboratory Institute, with Dr. Janine Mohammed, who's the CEO of Laboratory. And what we wanted to be able to do was to talk about what are the kind of determinants of health. And we know there's been a lot of work done around, you know, the social and cultural determinants of health, things like secure housing, education, meaningful employment, sufficient income to support families and individuals against in terms of cost of living, non-discriminatory access to services and public protection against violence. The kind of cultural determinants we know are things like, you know, having strong connections to country and community and having good functional family relationships, being able to speak your language, you know, having knowledge.
And they're good medicines for a healthy life, aren't they?
Oh, of course. All good stuff. And there's been a lot of work, Trevor, done in those areas, but what we wanted to be able to do was talk about, well, okay, that's the social and cultural determinants, but what about the political determinants of health? And so we wanted to talk about the way we think about how we structure up ourselves to be self-determining, self-governing people, using an Indigenous nation-building approach to think about those political determinants.
And so have we got input? Let's say, a new discussion paper? So who can add to this this piece of paper? And what's the end result? Can we make this a common practice or make it a program that can we all use?
Yeah, so what we want to do is kind of give people a bit of an idea about what is, you know, Indigenous nation building. When we talk about Indigenous nation building, what we're talking about is how, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander collectives, communities act as polities, political organisations that represent our people, in terms of the kind of key principles of nation building, which are, pretty simple, really. They are, that people identify as a political entity, as self-governing communities through institutions that represent us. And so they make decisions on behalf of our people. And in making those decisions, you need to back that up with nation governing bodies that can deliver on the decisions that you make.
Yeah.
And so, whatever the structures are that you create for yourself, as self-determining people, you say, this is the kind of body that represents us and speaks for us on those things, and that we're a part of that. We're citizens of this nation, our own Indigenous nation. So, make a decision, back it up with an organisation that can deliver on that decision. Whatever the organisation is, it has to be perceived by the community and by the people as culturally legitimate. It's got to reflect who we are.
Daryl, it's working towards the Uluru Statement, you could say, So we're going to have little campfires coming to the main campfire.
Yeah, I think it does. It complements...
Exactly.
Not just the Uluru Statement, but I think it complements a lot of things that are going on around the voice to Parliament. It complements the treaty work that's going on in Queensland and in Victoria and Northern Territory and potentially South Australia. So, you know, once you build your institution, it's got to match up with what people believe in. You know,
yes.
It's got to be legitimate in their eyes. It's got
but
to
then
be
we're talking about grassroots at the table as well.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is so important.
And so the fourth principle is around community-spirited leaders. You know, people act in the interest of the nation and of the people, not just looking after self and thinking about how they do that well. And then the last part is be strategic and be long-term, because we know that the research in Indigenous nation-building around the world says that stable political governance is absolutely the heart of being successful. You know, if you're not, you're going to struggle.
Well, any tool that can empower our people and give us a vehicle driving into the future as a bridge builder as well, you know, working with non-Indigenous people, government, what have you, but a voice, a very strong voice. So anything we welcome, anything that's going to enhance our living standards, so to speak. But thank you for sharing, Darryl. Yes.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. I think I'd encourage people to get out and have a look at the paper. You can get it on the Lowitja Institute's website.
Okay.
It lays out our understandings of nation building. It gives a number of kind of like little vignettes or stories around whole of nation wellness, and we use them as examples, for example, around healthy country and healthy people, strong law, families, repatriation, the returning of our ancestral remains, our old people, as we would say.
So it's a discussion paper, so it's an open paper, isn't it, Darryl? We can go on the website and add to the conversation and give input.
Yeah, and because I think part of the conversation here and really acknowledging the huge amount of work that the Aboriginal community control sector has done in the health space has been really, really important. But what we've got now is an emerging group of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nations Indigenous nations across the country who are wanting to have more say about the things that affect their lives.
Yes.
And so thinking about how does the community control sector support and complement Indigenous nation building efforts of our communities and vice versa is I think, an important kind of direction in the conversation, particularly as we get to things like the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Health Plan. And the health plan, it talks to specifically a nation-building approach to health and better outcomes in health for our people.
Exactly. Well, it's a nice platform, and thank you very much for sharing, Darryl. All the best to you and your team there at University of Technology in Sydney, and stay warm. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Trevor. Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye. Deadly Young there, Darryl Rigney, his name is Professor of the University of Technology of Sydney and the Power of Nation Building to Improve Indigenous People's Health and Wellbeing. So another platform, so to speak, regarding our mob having our say, but also it can lead to the big picture, Uluru Statement from the heart. So have your say in Yana Strong, into the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
To where my eyes can see, know the places that I've traveled and been. There's only one place that my heart can never leave, where the sun burns down and the moon shines bright at night.
Yeah, Daily Track there, Head and Home, Warren Malira, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to catch up now with Sister Kay Zarrow on the line. Kay, good morning, sister. How are you? Shut up. Kay, you're not there. Where are you? Last time I spoke to Kay, she was excited about her new job, driving taxis, I think it was. And they were screaming out for First Nation taxi drivers. And so she's one of the new kids on the block in that role, in that job. I'll try again. Sister Kay, you there? Good morning. Hello, Kay. Kay, which way? Not there. Kay, you're ringing in. Want to have a yarn to you, but lost you there, sister. Call me back, 1-800-422-416. If you're having dramas there, my sister, you can try a text 045-714-0550 or our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. They're deadly tools to have in regarding adding to the conversation, but it's good to be yarning with a human being. So talk to us, Kay. Give us a call back. This daily program is a one-hour program. We come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. Like I said, go across the nation thanks to NURS, National Radio Service. So do utilise this fantastic vehicle. We'll try again with Sister Kay. Kay, you there?
Yeah, I'm here now, Trev.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I just pulled up on the side of the road to have a quick chat with you.
Yes, please do. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so we're from Dunley Island. My dad's from Dunley Island. My mum's from Thursday Island. Her dad from Vanuatu. So, yes. Yeah, but we live in Cairns. Born and raised.
Good. Born and raised. Last time we spoke, you was in a new job in regarding driving taxis. Is that right?
I am. That's what I said. I pulled up on the side of the road this time so we don't drop out. I wanted to talk to you, Trev, about the e-scripts, the electronic scripts you were talking about.
Oh, with Dr. Andrew Rochford, digital health expert, electronic prescriptions at Royal Perth Hospital. Yes.
Yep. We have them here in Cairns, right? Like most of our oldies, you know, and that are on e-scripts now. Like my mum is.
Mm.
But I just wanted to say, I think it's a really good idea, but we sort of struggle because they send it to her phone and her text, and it really, she gets a bit flustered sometimes because just trying to keep track of where they're sent to and how many repeats she has left.
Oh.
So I reckon it would be a better idea if if the doctors, sent the e-scripts directly to the chemist. Because,
they struggle with the technology, so to speak. Yeah, trying to bring up the text or the email, yes.
Yep, and we, the Maldives, they normally only go through one chemist all the time.
Yeah.
So if my mum's doctor sent it straight to the chemist.
Her pharmacy, where she goes. Yeah, that's true.
She would just go there all the time. Every time I go there to get her medication, it's so frustrating just for me to try and say, hey, where's my mum's e-scripts,
I'll give a prime example. I love my beautiful father. Getting a bit on. We celebrated his 79th not long ago, and we're now planning his 80s. He's real able and everything like so. But with his texting, he texts the family, texts us kids. He reckon, just to let you know, Arnie so-and-so died. What did he put? He put LOL.
Yeah. Yeah.
We reckon... Dad, one of them LOL, what you talking about? Reckon, lots of love. Reckon, no, that's laugh out loud, Dad.
You know?
But regarding the technology, look, it's great there. It's in the fingertips. But a lot of our elders are not savvy in that sense. They're no subby, you know what I mean? So we need a platform so they can still communicate.
Another option.
Yeah, and that's a good one. Send it straight to the pharmacy.
Yep, it's really good, but it needs to go direct to the pharmacy.
If you would have called while we were yarn or Dr. Andrew, that could have been a good yarn, but we'll pass that information over.
I did ring, but your girl didn't put me through, but that's all right.
Thank you. It's hard to have two phone calls in there at the same time. Anyway, if you were sitting in the studio, it would have been good. But
that's right. Never mind, all good.
All good. How are you travelling with the new job, driving taxis?
Yeah, good. Going really well. I'm enjoying it, just... cruising around, getting the fresh air and picking up the mob, ripping them off. Yeah, it's all good.
And having good yarns with people too, catching up with mob, eh?
Yep, and still looking for drivers on the trip. So, anyone who's over 25, got no job and you want to come and learn how to drive,
Yes.
Give me a call or ring Rideshare Direct and we'll hook you up with a car.
Rideshare Direct. Now, hook you up with a car. So you don't have, it's not like an Uber, you have to use your own car. They got cars. You pick up the car, do the job, and then drop the car back when you finish your shift.
No, keep the car at home.
Oh.
Yeah, I keep my car at home because I work 5 days a week.
Yes.
And I just get up in the morning, go to work, come home, clean my car.
So at the end of the 5 days, do you take the car back to the company for the weekend workers?
No, I keep it.
Beautiful. So when you're not working, when you're not on shift, you've got the car.
Yeah, and unless they need it for another driver on the weekend, that driver would come and get the car off me, use it for the weekend and return it back. But there's no drivers. We don't have enough drivers.
Deadly. Okay. Yeah. So you mob out there looking for work here in Cairns, Far North Queensland. So Rideshare, are they a nation organisation, nation company?
No, I think they've only just nearly started in Cairns.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we do have a vehicle up in Caranda.
Okay.
And we go as far as up to Caranda and up to Port Douglas and down in Innisfail.
All right, beautiful and lovely drives they are. Well, fantastic. To the mob out there, black or white, male or female, they're looking for drivers. Yep. Rideshare.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the yarn, sister.
Love to see some more of our Indigenous mob out there.
Exactly.
Help pick up the mobs, you know, so yeah.
Yeah, black on black.
Great.
Take care, darling. Drive safely. That's Kay Savage, Kay Zaro, Kay Savage Nia, and Kay Savage Ni, have made name Savage, all the Savage family. Of course, married to Brother Noel, Uncle Noel, Too Deadly, Noel Zaro. You got good taste there, brother. Kay Zaro. And she's talking about, well, adding to the conversation regarding Dr. Andrew Rochford was talking about digital health expert electronic prescriptions at Royal Perth Hospital, which is fantastic. But that's happening at the moment. But Kay just picked up a bit of a loophole there in regard to elders who can't work their emails or their texting. And probably a good idea that the doctors send the prescription straight to their pharmacy. That's worth a thought. Have you saying Yana Strong, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
In the ground there lies a man that built this place with his two hands. Never once whinged or complained, just went about his business every day. Over 6 feet tall and very wise, a Christian man with a Bible by his side. An Irish dad and a dark-skinned mum, he had light skin but could speak his native tongue. Grandpa, you are a hero in my eyes, and the young ones these days will never know why. About the work you done so far and so near, but Grandpa, you were a quiet achiever. Your garden was a standout in the town, looking so beautiful all year round. Could eat most everything that you grew, another hidden gift for a man like you. Grandpa, you are a hero in my eyes, and the young ones these days will never know why. About the work you done so far and so near, but Grandpa, you were a quiet achiever. Now looking back at that empty house of yours, and how it gave us so much love and joy, and the stories that came within its walls, of the laughter and the sadness shared with all.
Yeah, the Quiet Achiever, Black Image Band. Big shout out to you, Deadly Mob. Black Image Band, Too Deadly. Hopevold Brothers, and big shout out to you, Mob. Would you, would you? Too Deadly. And Jan Upstrong here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Now, the Department of Veteran Affairs urged to subsidise medicinal cannabis for veterans struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder. We're going to catch up a yarn with Thomas Bailey, founder of Veteran Benefits Australia, and talk about this space. On the line, Thomas, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much, my friend. Where are you based, Thomas?
I'm in Brisbane.
Brisbane. All right, sunny Queensland. Fantastic. Here in Cairns, far north Queensland, hillbillies up north. Now, can you tell us more about how medical cannabis helps with the symptoms of PTSD?
Yeah, it helps a lot of veterans massively manage their PTSD and their symptoms and their sleep. There's also a massive overlap with the pain aspect and managing pain. And currently, the DVA does recognise medicinal cannabis and does assist veterans and help them fund medicinal cannabis for the treatment of pain. But it doesn't for PTSD, which is unfortunate because a lot of veterans are using medicinal cannabis sort of off-label and utilising black market cannabis to treat their PTSD and sort of
self-medicate. Which is illegal.
Yeah, which is illegal, yeah. But it's an unfortunate reality of the situation that they're turning to these other substances to help manage these, you know, horrible symptoms of PTSD, yes. Whether it's lack of sleep, flashbacks, all the awful things that come with PTSD. They're looking for solutions.
Outside the legal operation, well, they are still veterans. They're still advocating for the DVA, Department of Veteran Affairs, to review its medical policy on cannabis, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. We've been fortunate. We've teamed up with a lot of people. We've run a large campaign to get a lot of signatures to sort of protest and hopefully push this to be approved for the use in PTSD. So we've had over 25,000 signatures now.
Yeah.
For that, and hopefully it does get noticed, and hopefully it does get a result for the veterans.
So, how is it currently prescribed medication effective for PTSD treatment among veterans?
Yeah, it does. I have spoken to a lot of veterans about this. It does help manage their symptoms. It does help them with sleep. It does help them with a lot of the symptoms of PTSD. And yeah, I'm hoping that the DVA will recognise that and help them fund it because it does get very expensive. And of course, you know, they don't want to be turning to using black market stuff to treat their PTSD. You know, they want to be using the good quality medicinal cannabis and also, you know, under the strict guidelines of medical professionals. So having them sort of oversee the treatment is obviously a massive benefit.
So what advice do you have for veterans struggling with PTSD?
Yeah, I think, look, there are alternative solutions out there, and hopefully the DVA is going to recognise medicinal cannabis as one of those solutions.
Yes.
So, you know, keep your eyes open and keep up to date with, you know, what's happening in terms of treatments for PTSD, and hopefully there's a good result soon.
And so where can Australians go to support the petition if they decide they want to do that?
Keep an eye out in the news and on our social media and on our website. We'll be keeping veterans up to date. We'll also be providing an end-to-end solution for helping them access that once it is approved. We're going to help veterans. We've got a nursing team and a doctor team, so we're going to be helping them to access that.
Well, when people are sick, they need help, and that's what they're screaming for. Screaming for help, aren't they, Thomas?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's no, you know, one recipe that helps everyone.
Sure.
You know, we need to look at alternative solutions for treatment of PTSD. It's a very complex condition and, you know, medicinal cannabis does appear to help a lot of people. It doesn't necessarily, it's not going to be the one, you know, one treatment fix for everyone.
Sure.
But it's definitely, it's all about giving veterans more options. And I think this is a really good option for them.
Sure. And also not to abuse that situation. It is about helping the pain. DVA are doing their bit. And I thank you very much for the yarn there, Thomas.
No, thanks so much for having me on.
You take care, mate. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Deadly yarn there. Thomas Bailey's name is founder of Veteran Benefits Australia and DVA, that's the Department of Veteran Affairs, urged to subsidise medicinal cannabis for veterans struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder. So, look, there it is, and stream now for the a big shout out there to the veterans and operating in that space. PTSD is a pain in itself in regarding the trauma,
And so looking at whatever medicines are available, and if cannabis is the medicine that takes away the pain, then let's do it properly. Have you seen Yanov Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day when you get up in the morning, hear the work bell ring, and the march to the table, you see the same old thing. Ain't no food upon the table, ain't no fork up in the pan. But you better not complain, boy, you'll get in trouble with the man. At the midnight special, shine a light on me. At the midnight special, shine a light on me. Well, if you're ever in use now, I said you better do right. Say you better not fight, boy, or the sheriff will grab you, and the boys will be down. Well, the next thing you know, boy, you will be prison bound. Well, let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me.
Beautiful sound, that didgeridoo. Have your say. Yarn up strong, you mob. 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black. Yarning up strong here with Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. Going to catch up with Chappie on the line. Chappie, good morning.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
I'm good, my brother. Where are you calling from, Chappie?
Waka Waka country, brother.
Waka Waka. So who you mob?
Chappie.
Yeah, and who you mob, brother?
Chapman, brother.
Chapman, brother. That's why the Chappie. Deadly.
Yeah.
It's a good country. Good country. What you want to yarn about, Chappie?
Healing, bro.
Yes.
Concerning the massacres happening in our country.
Yep.
Right around our country.
Yep. We're talking frontier war. There was a war in this country, wasn't there?
Yeah, bro.
Yep. They don't want to recognise, acknowledge that.
And, you know, to bring healing to... Another generational traumas, you know?
Mm.
Like the tribes that were used, or people from the tribes that were used to, like the native police, mm. to work with the white police and the government or whoever else involved to some form of sorry, you know,
mm.
for healing.
Yeah, exactly. Acknowledging it and yeah. and wording it, putting it out there. That's a process, isn't it, brother?
Hello?
You there? Can you hear me, Chappie? No, I lost you, Chappie. I can hear you. Can't hear me. Chappie, I lost you there, brother. Call me back. Yeah, look, very important yarn there. And open here for your conversation there, brother. So give me a call back. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black, 1 hour program. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS. A big shout out to the First Nation radio station across the Deadly Country of ours. And we have all our daily programs where we talk and yarn from black perspective, so to speak, and play our music, even up-and-coming artists. They can use the platform to put their music out there, you know. We share and care for our mob. We'll try again with Chappie. You there, Chappie?
Yeah, brother.
Got you. Lost you. Lost you, brother.
We got in the way.
Yeah, all good, brother. Yeah. So I'm just saying the word sorry, you know, and the action behind it. That's a good healing process, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, because it carries on the generational curses and traumas, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, brother. And you know, I'm sure, like, we just documented which native police that were involved and what tribe we're from, you know, and stuff like that.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm sure, you know, not attacking the generations now, you know,
mm.
but the trauma's still there.
Of course it is. And that's why we carry the generational trauma, bro. We carry it, don't we?
Yeah.
We hear our stories, what happened to our grandparents, and it cuts to the bone, doesn't it, brother?
Yeah, and also when the evil spirit hangs around, it...
The spiritual side, yes.
To hold grudges and stuff like that, you know, from... Mm. All sides, you know?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. And with the white police are involved too, and the government, and anyone else they use too as well to...
Yep. So-called like farmers, whatever, you know. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and it's all part of healing, brother, you know?
Mm. Second that, brother. Second that.
Yeah. And if all other deadly people can... contribute to it too as well, and bring that to fruition, so to speak.
Exactly. Well, we're all in this together, you know, and it's about, I always say, Australia's got a history, black or white, good or bad, but the history is the history, and we need to acknowledge the hurt to move on, you know?
Yeah, for healing, brother, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, powerful words, brother.
Yeah, brother, that's all, and I'll be talking up with you again one day.
Yeah, Chappie, and thank you for the yarn, brother, and thank you for using the vehicle, National Talk Back, brother.
Yeah, no worries, brother.
All the best, brother. Take care.
What?
Beautiful yarn there, Chappie, and calling from Wagga, and yarning up strong there, and saying his piece regarding the hurt and the pain that goes on in regarding the trauma, and that's generational trauma. And look, we carry it as well. My grandmother died 30 years ago. She was stolen generation. And every time I think of her, I sort of think of her pain when she was alive, of course, you know, what happened to her. So it does cut to the bone. We've got about 14 minutes left on the program here. You might be able to do your conversation. 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black.
Hey, what's on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Mark Aran.
National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416.
The city lights are driving me so crazy. As I walk lonely streets of old Tamworth, how I wish that I was back there in the dream time, in the country
there's always peace and quiet. Oh, I wish that I was back in the dream time. Hear the didgeridoo a droning in the night. Where corroborees are seen by the firelight. Far away from the glow of city light. Now that on Main Street, it makes me feel so lonely. For the gum trees and the taste of porcupine. I see my brothers, I see my sisters here in Tamworth, torn apart by government ways and city life. Oh, I wish that I was back in the dream time. Hear the didgeridoo, the droning in the night. Where corroborees are seen by the firelight. Where the white man's ways won't bother me.
Colors of the ogres, or the grandeur of the rock, travel this big land as an aborigine. It's raining on the rock. What an almighty sight to see. And I'm wishing and I'm dreaming that you were here with me.
Yeah, Raining on the Rock. That's Warren H. Williams. Big shout out, Warren H. Williams. Hope you're well, my brother. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. 7 minutes left on the program. Looking at top stories in the news today. Chris Dawson subjected to constant death threats in jail. Nick Kyrgios can smell marijuana in wild US Open win. So while he's playing, he can smell marijuana. There it is. Top Sydney schools, troubled history. And other news here, I had to consider whether I should be there or not photographing people on the worst day of their lives. Australian photographer, journalist and now author Andrew Coulty documented Taliban takeover. Having lived and worked in Afghanistan for almost a decade, he often had to navigate the ethical minefield which comes with reporting on conflict. Other news here, so sad, missing Sydney doctor found dead. Tennis player responds to furor over inappropriate video with father. How salt and water can cure long COVID symptom. Bruce Willis's wife, Emma Heming, says her grief over his aphasia diagnosis can be paralysing. Sad affair. There it is. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? And there's a conversation here, National Talk Black. I've got about 6 minutes left on the program. We've got the semi-finals coming up with the AFL. Kicking on this weekend, Thursday night, second elimination final, Brisbane Lions versus Richmond. And Friday, we have the second qualifying final, Melbourne versus Sydney. The Saturday third, the first qualifying final, Geelong versus Collingwood. And on Saturday third as well, first elimination final, Fremantle versus Western Bulldogs. May the best team win. Have you say, Yarn Up Strong, your mob, 1-800-422-416.
You say you've had enough, I say that's fine. You can't even look me in the eye. You lay the final straw, you cross the line about a thousand times. I always want the last word when we fight. I never want to admit when I know you're right. Say we juice flesh and blood, you and I, but that's a lie. Ooh, we got paper hearts. We punch on in, we rip them up, we light them up. Ooh, the damage done. It takes twice as long to fix them as it takes to tear. Driving through the back streets in the dark. You had some feelings at the start before it fell apart.
Yeah, Paper Hearts, beautiful track. Busby Maru, The Great Divide, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. It's come to the time where Trinity Trev signs off for today. You mob back in the hospital again tomorrow. Thank you very much for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And we'll be yarning soon with the news coming up through NIRS, NIRS, National News Radio Service. So take a listen. Take care, you mob.